The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. The All-Star game last night, I'm still kind of on a high from it. And you know how I am about All-Star games. I think a lot of you are the same way that, yeah, like the NFL is the worst. The NHL is pretty good. The NBA has not been great. There were moments again last night where even Marv Albert, one of the deans of broadcasting in all the NBA, was saying the game has turned into what it usually does, somewhere in the middle of the first quarter, right? But, man, that last night in the fourth quarter, in the last period, trying to get to 157, was as entertaining. No commercial breaks. It's 5-on-5. Both teams are standing up. Yeah, there was a lot of NBA entertainment going on. And I don't think for 1 minute that that Grant Hill was really doing much more than saying, man, can you believe how great this is? Can you believe how amazing this is? That was his role last night. It's fine. Chris Webber wasn't there. They asked Grant probably at the last second to fill in, so he's not going to give much. And it's an All-Star game. Reggie Miller was losing his mind on it. But for me, it was just one of those, I couldn't get away from it. I just couldn't. We're going to have Marcus Howard with us on today's show. Marcus Howard at Marquette, former Perry High School star, went to Findlay Prep. Marcus Howard became the all-time scoring leader in the Big East Conference last week. Pretty amazing to have something of that caliber on your resume. And Marcus Howard will join us via Skype. That comes up here in about 10 minutes. Pedro Gomez is out. He's at Dodgers, Eric. Is that where is he over?
He is in the middle of Bud Black's interview right now.
So he's at the
Rockies.
He's at the Rockies. And Bud Black is probably not getting asked anything about the Rockies. He's probably getting asked everything about retaliation and the Astros.
Probably, but I'm sure Nolan Arenado and that whole
circus is probably
a point of conversation as well.
I can't believe that Rob Manfred just keeps taking the shovel and digging the hole deeper. Like this story, it's going to happen again tomorrow. Tomorrow, Rob Manfred is speaking here in Phoenix to all of the managers here. Yesterday, he spoke to the managers down in Florida and said, if you guys throw at pitchers or at players, if you try to retaliate against the Astros, you know, there's essentially going to be hell to pay and all that. The cheating scandal and the punishment, the comments that were made by Cody Bellinger, was very outside the box for the Cody Bellinger that I've seen through the years. And then Trevor Bauer got involved in it, and this makes sense that Trevor Bauer is going to go over the top. The Dodgers are really upset. I don't know if the Dodgers and Astros play one another. I've not looked at the schedule for this season. I'm not that far down the road on it. But for the commissioner of Major League Baseball to have to address this tomorrow, and then Wednesday is, of all the ironies, Wednesday Bud Selig is scheduled to speak over Grand Canyon University. I'm going to go to that. It's a lunch. It's Vin Scully and Bud Selig. Poor Vin Scully is going to be asked, what do you think about what the Astros have done? And so this story is going to continue for another week. And Pedro is right in the middle of this. So we'll have Pedro Gomez with us coming up at 10:50 this morning.
And Jim Crane didn't really help matters much last week. I mean, this has just been a PR disaster from the very first day of camp, when basically they surrounded the players in what was like a military-esque environment with security. Like, no one could get in the parking lot, no one was talking to the media, and then the next day Jim Crane comes out and is like, oh well, you know, it was okay, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Well, and then Eric, for Rob Manfred to say, well, it's just a piece of hardware, referring to the World Series trophy. Come on.
For a tradition rich game like baseball, that is the absolute worst thing you can say.
Worst.
And Cody Bellinger might have just, I read a couple articles over the weekend, Brad, about Cody Bellinger might have just, like, completely changed the way baseball players deal with the media. Because usually baseball players are very, not real outspoken, stay the course,
yep.
And he pulled zero punches. And then the Astros, of course, had something to say about what Bellinger said, and this story is not going to go away.
Well, but here's the thing, Eric. If you go back on the Astros story, remember the comment that was made about women in media around the Astros?
Yep.
Okay, and that was all the way back in, what was it, September, into October. And so there's been nothing but stuff around the Astros for, what are we at now, 6 months? five, 6 months, there's been nothing but negative around the Astros. And this is one of those stories that I don't know how baseball can pull themselves out of it other than just time. Because you can't, Rob Manfred's already dug his ditch, and tomorrow he's going to be asked about it again. And I'm sure today there are people in his office and high-ranking PR people that are going to say, look, you need to stick to the narrative. They may even say tomorrow, no questions, which would be the worst look overall.
It would.
Yeah, he's got to, after what he said yesterday about a piece of hardware and how he did consider, we did consider taking the players and suspending them, but we didn't want to mess with the players' union. Okay, so now Tony Clark's got to get involved in this because the players' union is sitting over there saying, well, the commissioner of baseball kind of threw us under the bus too. And so whenever the Astros roll into any town, and then a guy like Cody Bellinger says what he says, you know that there's going to be some guys that were tight with Astro players.
Of course.
They're going to buzz him.
No doubt.
And they're going to throw at him now.
Because players talk to players. There's no doubt about that.
Question.
And Cody Bellinger, I mean, you know him better than a lot of people. He's for him to for all the players to say that,
yeah.
Like if Justin Turner would have said something like that.
Yes.
It would have not been that big of a deal. But like Cody Bellinger saying that, like, okay, this has clearly done more than just touch a nerve.
And is this good for baseball that it's going to put it on the front burner? Is
no.
it going to be completely out of control? Are we going to be sick of hearing about this stuff
yes.
in April? If the Astros win 10 in a row, whatever stadium they go into, are people going to say you guys are a bunch of cheats?
Well, they're like the new Yankees in some way. I mean, you know, they're going to be one of, if not the most hated franchises in Major League Baseball. Because they're really just kind of like, yeah, well, I mean, they're not really owning their actions. They're just kind of like, yeah, we did it, but
well, it's like Altuve,
kind of.
Altuve is supposed to speak later today for the first time. I have no idea what Altuve is going to say. I know that Correa tried to make his point that Cody should just mind his own business. I think because the commissioner was so out of line with what he said yesterday, it just sounded like, I'm a PR guy that runs a league, and this is how it's going to be, and you guys just accept my answer. And no, nobody should accept that answer. Nobody. And it's going to continue again tomorrow.
Yep.
And then Wednesday. And we're going to sit here for a full another week of this. And the first time that there's an incident involving the Astros, whether it was intentional or not intentional, it's going to get put under the microscope like nothing else we've seen. If you're a fan in Houston, if you're a fan of the Astros and you've got kids, so I'll go down that path, because if you've got kids and the kids are going to ask, okay, what happened? Were they cheating? Well, it's really gamesmanship. So what we're going to hear out of people that are defending the Astros is it's gamesmanship. Like cheating happens in sports all the time. It's gamesmanship. The New England Patriots screwed around with football. It's gamesmanship. It's not cheating. So if you're a fan of that franchise today, you're just going to be on the side of the street of, no, it's not real. It's not cheating. It's gamesmanship. If you're in the NBA, is flopping any different than buzzing bells and banging on trash cans? Yes, it is. It is. Don't give me that. So when Carlos Correa says, well, no buzzer impacted Cody Bellinger for having a two-run throwing error, that's correct. But the other parts of the game, it did. Jose Altuve not wanting his shirt taken off after having a moment like he had because he was afraid of buzzers and all that stuff. There's too many players. This is not a media creation. There's a very important point here. This is not us saying, oh, it had to have happened because there's too many players. This isn't whiny Dodger players. It's players from other teams that have looked at the commissioner and said, what are you doing exactly? All right, Marcus Howard is next via Skype. Marcus, the all-time scoring leader in the Big East Conference, we'll have him Skype in, and then Pedro Gomez later in the hour. On a Monday, our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor. Sagicor now, protect what matters most, and that is with life insurance. If you've not looked into your life insurance, if you've not looked into Peace Assured, a great program that Sagicor has, these are things that you have to deal with as life moves on, because one day you're not going to be here. You're not. And Peace Assured, check into that at Sagicor now. They'll give you more information. Very simple to go through the application process or if you've just not handled your life insurance. That's at Sagicor now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Back after this timeout. One of the very cool stories that I've seen here in the last week in sports took place halfway across the country, and that would be at Marquette. Marcus Howard just tore it up. I could go with Marcus Howard stories all the way back to when he was in grade school practicing at a gym in the Southeast Valley with some other fourth, fifth, sixth graders. And the word was out, like, this kid's going to be a really good player. And then we saw him at Perry High School, and he crushed it there. He went on to Findlay Prep, got out of Arizona, ends up at Marquette. He's the all-time scoring leader now in the Big East Conference. This happened last week. Off the floor, he's doing some really cool things as well. So I figured, let's reach out. Let's get him on the show to congratulate him, one, and two, just get caught up. Marcus Howard from Marquette joins us now via Skype. If I would have told you back when you were that little scrawny little runt running around a gym at Basha High School, a side gym, and then over to Perry, that you would have put all this together, would you believe me?
To be honest, I would have thought you were crazy. You know, it's been a long journey. So far from done, but, you know, just to see where I've come from till now, I mean, it's been awesome. And, you know, I wouldn't be here with a lot of people that have helped me along the way.
When did you know that you were going to be a scorer? When did it hit you? Like, I can just score. Was it that young and those little side gyms, or when did it hit you?
Yeah, it was actually when I was that young. You know, I have two older brothers who played, Devin Jordan, and they always kind of were the ones that pushed me and put the ball in my hands. So they always gave me supreme confidence since I was at a young age, and, you know, you know, that killer mentality in me. And they told me from when I was younger that I was going to be better than they were. And so I would say from a really young age is when I kind of knew that this was something that I wanted to do.
Okay, first time you scored a bunch of points and you're like, wow, this is kind of cool. How old were you? When was the game? Do you remember that aha moment?
I had to have been maybe like 6 or 7. I was playing an AAU tournament. My brothers were there, and, you know, I was scoring a lot. They were going crazy on the sideline. I remember my mom kind of like getting mad at them for like going crazy because, you know, I was so young, and it was just like, it wasn't the time or place, but, you know, they couldn't help themselves. Still to this day. But I remember being very early, you know, I was very young. They were kind of in their teens at that point. So, that's one of like the most vivid memories I have, me kind of, you know, scoring at a high rate, was when I was really young and then just kind of going crazy on the sidelines.
Most points you've scored in a game, Marcus, ever?
Most points I've scored in a game, I'll have to say in junior high, I had somewhere around 60. In a championship game, I had around 60.
Like at Willis, like at Willis Junior High or something, Santan Junior High or something, right?
Santan Junior High, our championship game, we played Payne. I had somewhere around 60.
Yeah. And then in high school, you know, you're over at Perry, and I remember seeing the buzz and fans and hearing the buzz and fans of how many points is he going to get tonight. And your high school career, you went from Perry, you went to Findlay. Look back on that decision now and how that all came together.
You know, I thought it was going to be a good thing for me to – transition from, you know, public school to a prep school, to learn and play with, you know, players that I was gonna be playing with at a high level in the collegiate ranks. But I look back on it now, and, you know, it was a great experience for me to experience that and kind of be on my own and get prepared for the college lifestyle, you know, living on my own, things like that. But some of the best memories I had playing the game were, you know, playing here in the state of Arizona, and, you know, being around friends, family, and truly getting better at my game and molding my craft. So I think back on it, you know, I really miss those times. Wish I had more of those times, because, you know, being at Perry, being around such great people, and playing the game I love was truly, you know, something that I could never take for granted. It was a blessing to be able to play a year with my brother. Something I don't think I'll ever be able to do again, but, you know, I really embraced that time I had, and then I made some of the greatest friends, you know, built some of the greatest relationships while being in the state. And I got a lot, you know, I had some really good times at Perry. I miss it. But, you know, I think, you know, the decision I made was best for me in my basketball career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it definitely turned out to be something good for me.
Is it something you look back on now and say, if I had to do it all over again, I would maybe not do it? Finley's not around anymore, last time I checked. And I'm not trying to dig on something. It's just, do you look back on it and say, you know what, if I had to do it all over again, maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, my time at Finley was great. You know, I learned a lot and met a lot of great people. But yeah, if I did have to do it all over again, you know, I would have stayed a year at Perry. I had planned on graduating early. I planned on class 9 to go to college early. But if I had to do it all over again, I would have taken one more year at Perry, you know, just to try my best to win a state championship.
Okay, Marquette, how did that come to be? That, because the people have said to me, how did he end up at Marquette? Well, Finlay's a national program, so nationally I get it. But connect dots on Marquette.
Yeah, so, I mean, even now when people say, where are you from? I'm like, Chandler, Arizona. They'll say, okay, what's a kid from Arizona doing in Milwaukee, Wisconsin? But all in all, you know, coming to Marquette was really having to do with, you know, the type of people I was going to be around each and every day. The relationship that I built with our assistant coach Stan Johnson, he was at Arizona State.
Yep.
He recruited me first when I was in seventh grade. He was the first coach to ever recruit me. And he instilled, you know, a type of trust in me that you don't really get from a lot of coaches. I mean, me and his relationship has grown into more like a big brother, little brother type relationship over time. And he's been, you know, one of the closest people I've, you know, been in contact with in terms of the game of basketball. So when he made the move from Arizona State to Marquette, you know, he was the first person. I was the first person he called. And I just, the vision he had for me as a player, the trust that he and the coaching staff here at Marquette had in me, was something that really drew me to the school. And then once I got here, you know, I was told, you know, it's such a great place, such a great brand of people. And, you know, the basketball tradition speaks for itself. I mean, we have so many great alumni that have come through here and played. So just to have an opportunity to be one of those guys to come in and try to make an impact was something that really, really intrigued me in terms of my recruiting process.
Yeah, I'm curious, in Milwaukee, because Giannis is there on the pro level, you're there doing what you're doing at Marquette. Has it been a rebirth of basketball? You mentioned the great history, and yes, you can go to Billy Packer and Doc Rivers, and there has been great tradition, but in recent years, there had not been. You come on the scene, Giannis comes on the scene, and all of a sudden, in that part of the country, basketball is a hot thing.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think the city of Milwaukee is something that, I mean, they really pride themselves on. They really love basketball in the state of Wisconsin. They really take pride in it. And I think, you know, the things that have been going on with the Bucks and with us and the new arena that we have here, it's been really exciting. It's been really good for the city. The city's really gravitated towards both teams. And I think the fact that we are able to share an arena with the Bucks brings more excitement to the city. And, you know, Milwaukee really treasures their basketball tradition. I think Marquette especially is a place that really treasures this tradition as well.
Marcus Howard with us for a couple of minutes. Before I let you go, and he's done a terrific job, all-time scoring leader now in the Big East Conference. You're looking towards the next step. I want to talk to you first about off the court. You've been very out front in mental health and very out front with opening an FCA chapter, and I really appreciate that. Walk me down the mental health side of sports and what drew you to be an open person about that.
Yeah, you know, it started, you know, my freshman year, like any type of freshman going into college, you know, you have, you know, kind of fear, some self-doubt, and that definitely messed with my mental psyche. So I wanted to be sure that, you know, as I got older and as the process kept going and going, and I got a little more attention as the years went on, that, you know, I was going to be able to talk to somebody, because, you know, it's really important that I feel that the athlete's able to take care of their mental more than their physical, because I think nowadays the game's more mental than physical. Mm. And for me to kind of speaking outwardly about it, a person with my kind of platform, I think if I'm speaking on and using my platform the right way, then I shouldn't have it. So me given the opportunities that I've been given through being here at Marquette, and they've given me so many great opportunities to speak on things that I'm passionate about, I felt it was right to kind of open up and speak about, you know, what I go through on a daily basis in terms of my mental health. So I think if I'm able to speak on it from a person in my platform, it can help somebody that might not be able to speak on it. So that's kind of what drew me to want to be able to talk about something as personal as that. And, you know, it's gotten some really, really, really good response nationally.
Yeah. Did you find yourself in a really dark place at one point in time, or is it a constant battle?
I mean, I would say it's a little bit of both. You know, there was a point in time, my freshman going into my sophomore year, where, you know, I was really in a dark place, and, you know, I felt that I needed to talk to somebody. And then, like anything else, I feel, you know, your mental health is a daily battle. You know, you're fighting through, people fight through something each and every day. It might not be something you see on the surface, but you never know really what someone's going through. So I think it's really important that you're able to, you know, address that whenever you feel you should. So something that I felt on my heart to really speak on for people who might not be able to speak on it.
Before I get to, that's great stuff. Before I get you out of here, the next step. So you've got March Madness in front of you. The NBA side of things are going to go through measurables. You can't measure heart. You can't measure all the things you can do in on the court. What are you hearing about the next level for you?
You know, all I know is if I'm just worried about winning here at Marquette. I know that if we as a team do what we're supposed to do on the court and control what we can control, you know, everything will take care of itself. But, you know, I'm just trying to maintain positivity through it all. You know, I mean, a lot of people are going to say a lot of different things, but no matter what, you know, I want to stay true to who I am as a person and a player. I don't want to change who I am on or off the court based on what someone else might say. So no matter what happens, you know, I want to maintain who I am and what's gotten me to this point. And then, you know, I just want to help my team win as best as I can. And, you know, I'm going to take that a day at a time. And, you know, I'll let the chips fall where they may, because, you know, God's plan for me is a good one. So I want to be sure that, you know, I'm taking it a day at a time, not trying to think too far down the line behind, but just trying to make that positivity on a daily basis.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Congratulations on being the all-time scoring leader in the Big East Conference and talking to people back here in Arizona, Marcus. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Arizona's always going to be home, so anytime I can talk with you guys, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you much. There's Marcus Howard joining us via Skype from Marquette. He is now the all-time scoring leader in the Big East Conference. Quite a journey, quite a story. Really respect what he's doing on and off the court. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. So we have a cool little story that is building and brewing on the men's college basketball front. 2 weeks ago, I sat in this chair and said, I don't think that March is going to be anything of interest because U of A was kind of stumbling along. ASU couldn't figure it out. If they could just shoot straight, that's the only way they could win. They didn't have much of an inside game. Well, now all of a sudden I have a change in tune, which we're allowed to do here. Because, and I get it, it's Cal and it's Stanford. If you're an ASU fan, you're excited. But they've won five in a row. It feels like it's a team that is getting better and better. They're not just beating some teams that aren't good. When you go on the road and you win back-to-back games, it's impressive. When you take down the U of A, your arch rival, job well done. When you find a way to beat USC and UCLA, it's a good stretch of basketball for the Sun Devils. This Thursday night, Oregon is in town. Oregon is ranked 14th. Oregon at ASU this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. It's not one of these 9 o'clock buried asleep games. 7 p.m., number 14 ranked team in the nation. I can't tell you that the game should be sold out. Whenever we go down that path, it just doesn't happen. But there should be some buzz in the air about how well ASU is playing. I was texting Eric yesterday because I was watching the game. I was one of the few, I think. It was on ESPNU. It's on Sunday afternoon. It's before the All-Star game. They're playing Cal. I can't imagine there's many people are watching it, but we were both kind of going back and forth on it, and I have to change my tune on Remy Martin. Remy Martin should be considered now as the player of the year. Remy Martin is a really, really good player. I said he's a good player. Eric disagreed with me. It's fine. He's right. I'm wrong. The shots that he was making and some of the shot selection you could question, and that's been my thing with him in the past. But you know what? When they fall and he steps into a space where he's not afraid late in games, it's not like he's jacking up shots just in certain points. That's his deal. Okay. And he hit a couple threes yesterday that were fall away, getting fouled late in the game that were nails, just nails. And he handled the floor well late in helping the team get the victory. So ASU, really interesting to me. And add to that, guys, if you look at college basketball this season, just give you an example. In the top 10 today, Dayton is in the top 10 today. Dayton, they're fifth. San Diego State is undefeated. They're fourth. Gonzaga, who's always there, is second. So it's not like you can't have Cinderellas all over the place. Right now, there's, I'd say, two of three Cinderellas. Gonzaga is there, and they're there every season. We see Gonzaga. We saw them here when the Final Four was out of Glendale. San Diego State, that's a Cinderella. Dayton, are you kidding me? That's the biggest Cinderella. And add to that, you have number one Baylor against number three Kansas this coming Saturday. Baylor already won at Kansas. This game is at Baylor. If Kansas and Baylor do not stub their toes tonight in conference play, Big 12 play, then Saturday will be a ginormous game. It's not like North Carolina that was 12-10 against Duke and all the hype that was built up last week because it's North Carolina and Duke. I get it. That's ESPN's bread and butter. They got great numbers, great ratings. Carolina's not very good. We got stories out here that are really good and fun to watch. The fact that UCLA is becoming relevant again is good for college basketball. It is good to see Mick Cronin put together a team that is competitive night in and night out. UCLA has not had one player transfer out of that program. In a day and age where a new coach comes in and lays down the law, you would think guys were gone right and left. I'm not counting Shaq's kid. Shaq's kid had a health issue and he transferred out. Players that were on that roster that went down the floor and have played this season as bad as UCLA was earlier in the year, and that coach brought out his hammer, and now you see where UCLA is. That's a great brand. If Arizona can figure it out and get in, and Oregon can get in, and Arizona State can get in, and U of A can get in, those are four better teams than they were last year in the tournament. We go to Vegas in a few weeks, and it's not just Oregon and Washington and everything else. And even watching Washington with Isaiah Stewart, I can't tell you how exciting I think the Pac-12 tournament is going to be in Vegas and how the teams don't feel like I guess right now ASU is one of those Final Fours, according to Joe Lunardi, one of those Final Four teams that's in. Doesn't make a difference to me. They're playing with some momentum, some urgency. Now they have the 14th ranked team in the nation coming. If they're able to beat Oregon at home at Thursday night, does it solidify? Because let's go back on this. It seems like every year when it comes to March Madness, ASU is on the bubble or one of the last four in, and then they completely crap the bed once they do get in the conference or into the tournament. So it was a very good weekend in college basketball. The fact there's a 26-0 team, I love that story. I love it because I do have a little bit of a tie into San Diego State. But they're number four in the nation. So some really good things are going on the college basketball front. Pedro Gomez is next on All Things Around the Astros. Stay with us. So Eric was telling me during the break that one of the Astro beat writers had on Twitter that while Altuve and others were doing batting practice, a fan ran over to a trash can, banged it three times, and then ran off. True story. Pedro Gomez joins us now. Where do we go on this? Because this is only going to continue. Manfred is supposed to meet with the media tomorrow. In teams tomorrow, right, Pedro, here in the Cactus League?
That is correct. At 4 o'clock, he's addressing the media. It's here in Scottsdale. And he did the same thing yesterday in the Florida, in the Grapefruit League. They do this now twice a year where during spring training, he'll meet once in Florida, once in Arizona. So we'll see. But you know what? In terms of the fan doing that, the Astros better have thick skin because it's going to be like that all season long. You can just hear, you know, when they're coming up to bat or whatever, being introduced, Tony Orlando and Don knocked three times. Todd Rundgren, I don't want to work. I want to bang on the drum all day. I mean, it's going to be all season long. You know it.
Okay, your view on all of this. What has not been said that strikes you? Is it Cody Bellinger going after him and Mike Trout going after them? Is it how clumsy Manfred appeared yesterday? Is it the Astros' lack of remorse? Is it their crazy owners not saying much? What strikes you most on all of this?
Well, when you hear Rob Manfred say that he's a big believer in precedent and that that's the reason he did not take away the World Series title. When you have an unprecedented issue that takes place, it calls for precedent. And that's where I think he could have done more and said, you know what? I know this has not ever happened in the history of the game, but 2017, we're going to declare that there was no World Series champion. Personally, I think that the reason that that did not happen is because the first thing Jim Crane would have done is call quite a few of the other owners saying, look, if he could do this to me, he could do this to anybody. This guy works for us, because the commissioner does work for the 30 owners. And I think that Manfred probably would have been out of the job by now, maybe. It is without precedent, but it also called for something drastic to send a really severe message across the landscape.
Okay, I'm going to make this personal on you. 2017, and I'll go on my end of things. I'm doing the color analyst for Arizona State basketball. The year they did point shaving, I am the color analyst. I just thought it was a bad team. I had no idea. And then point shaving, it's like, oh, okay. So you're sitting there watching the World Series. You're in a spot where you have great access. You see everything going on. Cross your mind for 1 second that there was something weird going on.
Of course not. It's not the first thing that comes to mind that they're at using some elaborate, technologically advanced cheating system. No, I would say no, it's not. You know, hindsight's always great. And I will say this, that this was discovered relatively early compared to, say, the PEDs, which were going on for years and years and years, more than a decade before baseball was able to institute a drug testing program. So I would say that it would probably be disingenuous for somebody to say, "Oh, I knew all along."
Yeah.
No, I don't think anybody did. Not to the degree that they were doing it. And if it was known, I think that anybody who knew would have said something. And the fact that it was held in such top secret indicates they knew exactly how devious this was and how this was going to be met with furor from across the game.
Are you surprised that Mike Trout and Cody Bellinger, two big names, have been so outspoken? Trout saying, if it was me at the plate, knowing what's coming, that would have been fun. For Cody to just go after the commissioner the way that he did, I thought really out of character. Are you surprised by those two in particular?
Well, I mean, in Bellinger's case, he was a 2017 Dodger, and I think anybody who played on that 2017 Dodger club is feeling a lot of anger. Cody won the MVP award. I would say this, if this would have been 2 years ago, the 2018 spring training, I'm not sure that Cody Bellinger, after just one season in the bigs, would have been comfortable enough to say anything. But more power to him and anybody that speaks out, because you've got to be able to have some service time in order to say anything. And it's really one of the reasons that a lot of the younger Astros players just went along with it, because you don't feel comfortable enough to say, hey, this is wrong. We should not be doing this. And you know how it is. I mean, the higher you're up on the totem pole, the more sway you have over an institution. And that's basically what's happened. And I would say the same thing goes with service time and accomplishments in the game. The more you can achieve, the more your voice can be said. I mean, we're seeing it with Nolan Arenado. I'm at Rockies camp today, and, you know, Arenado's had a very difficult offseason because he has voiced his opinion, and he's earned that right because of his accomplishments.
Two other questions. I'll let you go. Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, insider. Retaliation will not be tolerated from the commissioner's point of view. How does he believe he can make that happen?
Well, I think you make a statement like that to send a message, but when it comes down to it, each player, each pitcher is going to be able to determine what they want to do. And I would not be surprised if there was a spike in hit by pitches with the Astros, as much as that may be something that disgusts a lot of fans. This is the major leagues, and the Astros were found guilty. It's not maybe they did it. No, they were found guilty. Mm-hmm. And players have a way of policing themselves. It's happened for over 100 years in the game. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see how that develops.
Because Manfred cannot step in and just suspend Altuve, let's just say. Tony Clark will get involved. The players' union will get involved. That's what fans...
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
of
course. So the idea that that's the way that it should go. So I guess the last question for you is, how can Major League Baseball clean this up, one? And two, will tomorrow be as cantankerous as ever with Rob Manfred at the podium at 4 o'clock?
I would say, to answer your latter question, yes. I would think that it's going to be pointed when Manfred takes the podium tomorrow at 4 o'clock here locally. And how can baseball clean this up? Look, if they let the players kind of clean it up themselves, I think that it would be relatively quick, but that's not what's going to be allowed. So I think it's going to be a slow process, and we're going to hear all season long how players, every time the Astros go to a visiting city, you're going to hear it. Every time that a player decides to say something, it's going to be news.
Yep.
And they've earned that right because the Astros have not earned any benefit of the doubt on this.
And I haven't seen it, the Astros and Dodgers play one another.
They do not this year. They do not. However, you know, the Astros do have very, very good players.
Yeah, sure.
And this year's All-Star game is at Dodger Stadium.
Oof. Oof. See ya. Appreciate your time as always. Stay well.
Okay. See you, Brad.
There's Pedro Gomez with us over at Rockies camp. Yeah, tomorrow afternoon at 4, there's no way unless he walks in tomorrow and says, yeah, you know what, after further review, we're going to do this, but the players' union will get involved every single time. That's the way it goes. Judd Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He navigated through some tough waters today, but that's why he's the Iron Man. Eric Sorensen, senior executive vice president of nothing, everything. He navigated through a blowout of a tire today. Jordan Hamm helped out as well. We're going to head over now, work on our TV show of Fox Sports Arizona's Brad Sussmat Football AZ. Plenty of content up on our website at sports360az.com. Have a great Monday.